Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Now, I know I have some controversial opinions, and I think this one might get me cancelled, but I've got to get it off my chest. I think people who wear slippers are deeply unattractive. There you go. I said it. I do, honestly. I'm going to go as far as saying ugly people wear slippers. It's true. Listen, before you get yourself all hyped, let me give you some justifications. A, slippers are essentially old-fashioned Crocs. Okay, and side note, Crocs are also fucking vile. B, people who wear slippers somehow think that they don't have to wash them, so they like mope about the house with these like crusty, dirty things on the end of their feet. No, thank you. C, in which world are you that cold that a sock doesn't suffice? Honestly, if you're living in a place where it's that cold, put on a pair of shoes, put on a pair of snow boots, babe. But a pair of slippers, no, thank you.
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
Hello, friends, weirdos, nutters and mentals. I mean, hopefully that covers most bases around here. Welcome back to After the Tone with me, Scotty, your host, holding you together for the next 40 minutes. Lucky you. Who's holding me together, actually? Let's not even go down that rabbit warren. If you're an FTL, first-time listener, what you're about to hear is voice messages left for me on the ATT burner phone. I've got no idea what's about to be said, so you'll be hearing my very immediate response to, let's say, a wild array of subjects. Coming up, a note here from producer Deb to say our new segment, The DM Slide, is back. How to break up with your therapist, and I'll be telling you how to get involved with the show and how you can leave us a message. But before that, you might not be aware that After the Tone is a community space. You're welcome. And so to keep it going, we do rely on the generosity of you, the listeners, to throw a few spare quid, dollars, bucks, whatever your local currency is, into the digital hat. And to keep this place going for other people like you, that tell us that they love it, they need it, they use it, they rely on it. So if you fancy throwing in some cash, come and join us over on patreon.com/afterthetone. Each week, before the episode gets published, you get access to my show notes, which sort of allude to what the next episode is going to be about. People talk to each other, we ask questions over there, people get in the inside gossip, people share handles and emails, and they make friends. So if you want to make friends, essentially, is what I'm saying, come and join us over there. If you can, you can. If you can't, we totally understand why. Listen, I'm fully aware that I actually sound quite sexy this week. Yes, it's because I sound a bit raspy. Now, I've done all the Q-tipping up my nose and the COVID pregnancy test. She's telling me, no, girl, it's not the Rona. Still not her. But, you know, I mean, you get a little tickle or a little runny throat. Now, runny throat? I should be a fucking lucky. I can't believe I just said that. Sorry, Mum. You get a sore throat. also charged me a fine thing and a runny nose. And you think, oh, well, that's me now, isn't it? That is me. So we'll see if we get through the next 40 minutes. Right, enough funny business from me. Apparently, there was a very long line of people to see me. So, Nurse Debbie, do your worst.
Hey, Scotty. Hi, Producer Deb. First-time caller, short-time listener. That Scouse one that we both know, he suggested the podcast to me and I've been addicted ever since. Well, anyway, you said that you sound like a few people have thought you sounded like Adele, and I thought I'd let you into my... Oh, by the way, I'm Josh. my own celebrity mistaken identity story is for a good long time, but I used to get mistaken for being Craig Tinker from Coronation Street. Yeah. we look nothing alike, we're just both fat and ginger. And they never actually said I looked like Craig Tinker. They all just shouted at me and said, "Are you that fat ginger lad from Corey?" In the most awkward of places, like I'd be walking into Morrison's and they'd be shouting that at me. Just really, really awkward. I used to hate it, but now I kind of miss it because I felt a little bit special. But yeah, he's since lost a lot of weight and moved to Manchester, and I feel like I've found the weight and I'm still here and aspire to move to Manchester. But still, that's my celebrity mistaken identity story. Can I have a badge? I really want a badge. I'll come collect it myself if you don't want to pay for postage. I just really want a badge.
Everybody, welcome Josh to the room, please. Thank you very much to the FTC STL, first time caller, short time listener. God, they don't get easier, do they? Can you have a badge? Can you fuck? You walk in here for the first time and say, "I want a badge. I want doesn't get." And also, you mardy bitch saying, "Is it because of the postage?" Oh, my God, I feel so attached. You know what? I feel like sending you 25 now just to prove that it isn't to do with postage. No, fuck that. I'm not sending any fucking badges. Anyway. Hello, Josh. How are you? Now, Fat and Ginger, welcome in solidarity. Hello. I know this misgendering that happens all the time for fat people because we just get told that we look like people off the telly purely just because we're fat. Do you know what I mean? There isn't very many fat, famous people. So when a normal, they think we call them that affectionately, we don't. When a normal kind of watches the telly and they see a fat person, they're like, "Oh, that reminds us of like Paul down the road." And it's like, Paul doesn't look anything like Dawn French Jean. But, you know, apparently it makes sense in their head. Now, listen, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. You're welcome. You mentioned one of my favourite supermarchés in the world, okay? It's called Morrison, okay? How dare you bring down the stature and call it Morrison's. Morrison. Now, international listeners, Morrison isn't a glamorous place, but it has notions, as we say in Ireland. So, it has a cafe called Café Morrison, where you can get a full English breakfast for about £1.52. It's always weird pricing as well. Very strange pricing. Now, where the notions come into play is, if you go into the vegetable bit, the fancy zhuzhed up supermarchés have dry ice over the broccoli. It's camp, girl. It's so camp. So if you've got a Morrison's near you, feel free to dive in. Because I'll tell you what, on a warm day, a fat Mary like me love going in there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like dry, cold steam on your face. I know it's supposed to be for the vegetables, but fuck it. Basically, Café Morrison and Morrison is a day spa for people like me. Anyway, that was a massive tangent. It sort of reminded me of a very fancy restaurant. I went to a restaurant. Look at me, I've considered supermarkets restaurants. God, classic fat person. I went to a very fancy one in Toronto. That's not how they talk in Toronto. That was a very Australian accent. Which I can't ever pronounce the... It was called... Sleblers. I couldn't pronounce it then. I couldn't pronounce it now. So if you've got a favourite supermarché, jump into this call. I know Josh didn't ask, but that's the direction to travel.
Hey, After the Tone. This is Jessie. I called in a little while ago because I got dumped by my therapist. And yeah, anyway, I've just paused... listening to send in a voice note about like feeling like you're a bit older and are like an experience with sex or you're like having sex for the first time as an older person, just to call and say I like really resonate with that, because I'm like a queer person and it took me quite a long time to work that out. I was having sex as a younger person, but with like cisgendered straight men, which I worked out later was like not the sex I wanted to be having. So I definitely went through a phase of being like, oh, I'm old and still feel like a virgin even though I'm not. But then I ended up like meeting someone, and what felt really amazing was just like, I didn't feel like an experience, like I felt like I knew exactly what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And like an amazing thing about queer sex is that people generally tend to communicate more anyway, and that was like totally amazing for me. And then I'm now, because I've like much more recently worked out that I'm trans mask, and so I'm finally feeling like a much better relationship to like my body and who I am, and I'm working through that. And so now that does affect the sex that I have, so I feel like I'm like coming out again and working out something again, which in many ways is like weird and scary, but in other ways is like unbelievably exciting. And I mean, like, oh, actually, no, I do know what I'm doing, because this is just kind of natural. Basically, I'm just like trusting myself and who I am. Okay, thanks. Bye, everyone.
Do you know what? We have to start there with Jessie with a gender euphoria clap. Honestly, finding those parts of yourself, listening to those parts, and then taking those big steps to make those external and telling the world and living your best life. Absolute 10 out of 10. Yes, gold. You've won first in the Olympics. That is gender bullshit. You win. Okay, Jessie, I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I think so often with that disclosure, we don't acknowledge the bravery that it takes on a day-to-day basis to come out, to reveal, to share. So absolute loving that, please. First, I'd like to pick up on, wasn't it lovely to hear you calling through Storm Eunice? It was essentially beautiful, lovely. Thank you all so much for the quality and the time you all put into the audio picture. See, Jessie, I give with one hand, I take with the other. I'm just giving notes, Debbie, okay? I want this to sound like a nice podcast. I'd like to win a Sony Award. I don't know if they do Sony Awards, I'm just sort of making that, but, you know, just say it. It's just notes. Anyway, now, yes, we are double back on last week's chat. I thought that conversation that person brought to the table last week was so vulnerable and so honest that I'm really glad that we're responding to it. I too agree that yes, queer sex can be a place where it can be more communicative. I think queer people are so good at checking in. I just want to check in. I just want to like, how was that for you? Have you got any notes? How do you feel? Yes, I think that can be the case. Although there is a marked difference in my experience of having sex with queer people than having sex with gay men. I'm just going to put it out there, everybody. There just is, okay? Some sex that I've had with gay men is deeply problematic. And if we were to look at their search histories, I don't mean in a illegal way. I mean in a problematic way. You know what I mean? And so what I guess I'm saying here, Jessie, is yes, if we're looking at the umbrella term of queerness, yes and no. But in my experience, I have had some sex where I'm just like, actually, no, this isn't what I need. This is what I haven't asked for. And these are some boundaries. So I'm really glad that you found it. And it just sounds like you're having a whale of a time. So get your rocks off and carry on. Jessie, I hope you call again. And before we dive into this next call, I've got a little show note here from the producing team that says this next call contains some chat about non-consensual sex. It doesn't talk about it graphically, but there are references made to it. So if you are in a headspace today in which you need to avoid information like that, skip a couple of minutes and we should all be done.
Hiya, Scotty, Maya, Timcat and Debs. Felicity here. I was trying to listen to this episode to go to sleep, but of course I didn't, because it's all too interesting. And now I really want to say something to the lovely person that called in about relationships and levels of experience. I have slept with lots of people. I'm 28. and I've slept with lots of people, but very few of them more than once. And some of them, it was not consensual on my part. And some of them, most of them, the whole experience was very unsatisfying for me. And I've never had a relationship in any of that time. And I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed of having slept with lots of people or not having had a relationship, I think. I'm ashamed that I didn't do a better job of advocating for my own pleasure. I feel like in terms of quality over quantity, I haven't had quality. I'm very aware that at 28, I have not had a relationship. I don't feel equipped to have a relationship. I don't feel equipped to have important conversations about feelings and sex and pleasure with other people. I should say that all of the people that I've slept with today are cis men. I don't think your experience is an uncommon one, at least as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Lovely, Felicity. Thank you. And thank you for starting that with a hello to everybody. You can always tell good manners on people, can't you? Because she said hello to literally everyone on the team. So 10 points for you. Love that. Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge the disclosure that you put with in this message. And you put very plainly, I think with all of the information you chose to disclose to us today, you put very plainly on the table in very calm ways. But I think we do need to, you know, acknowledge that. You know, you've disclosed some things there. Again, like our caller before, Jessie, you're disclosing things, all of you. It's so generous, because what you're doing here is you're sharing these things for the greater good of the conversation, not to say there's this thing that needs to be dealt with. Because as we've spoken about before, ATT isn't a therapeutic space. It's a space in which we share, we laugh, we giggle, we cry, and we talk about piss, shit and vomit and the rest of it. So I just wanted to acknowledge that disclosure that you put within that message. And also, you know, like the vulnerability that everyone's talking about there about their experiences in relationships, because there is such an expectation that we're fluent within sex and relationships, that we understand how to. And particularly within the education systems that I experienced in the UK, we are not equipped as young adults to know this stuff. But also just want to add something here as well about there are people who live in a very sexual relationship world who do not have those feelings, you know. I guess I'm looking at our asexual friends and people who have non-sexual relationships and identities. Anyway, by the by, going on a bit of a tangent here, the idea of being equipped to have a relationship I find really interesting. I mean, I wish I would have maybe asked myself or come into contact with you a bit sooner, Felicity, because I wonder if I've been equipped or if I am equipped to have a relationship. From the amount of talking that I do in relationships, I probably have an experience that I can bring to a relationship in which I can talk about my thoughts and my feelings, as you all know, because I talk to you every week about them. But this idea of being equipped to be in a relationship, do we need to be? I mean, I'm not saying, do you need to be? I'm sort of asking, would that make relationships more successful? Because I guess if we need to be equipped, how do we get equipped? Is it not trial and error? Loads of questions are coming up for me. If you've got something that you want to respond to in either Felicity or Jessie's responses to last week's call, please do pick up the blower and get in touch, because I am finding this chat very exciting.
Hiya, Scotty. It's Adam, he, him. I wanted to reply to the caller in the last episode with the gorgeous Irish accent who was on about losing their virginity at 36. That was their words. And being in a 5-year relationship that had just ended and therefore having, I think what they said, like big gaps in their sexual CV. I got a massive big gap in mine, which was all the way up until the age of 29. And every time I like mention that to people, tell people that, it's always like dead interesting to them. And I would just thought I'll just share like a couple of things that the caller made me think about. I was basically having sex with myself for, you know, for like a really, really, really long time, obviously since I was like a teenager. And I knew I was queer and that I just didn't do anything with other people. I guess I was like moving through the world, not as a sexual person, but I knew what I wanted. And then when it happened and it was great. And I've been very sexual with lots of other people since then. I guess there's two things. Like, one is that I was a massive wanker. I'm still a massive wanker. And I'd been having sex with myself all of that time. And I don't know if that was like sufficient or what, but I guess it kind of helped me to like feel good in myself and to be like, look, that's my story. Because so many people say, oh, wow, that's quite late, isn't it? And I say, well, it's the time that it happened for me. Anyway, lots of love to that caller and to you, Scotty, and producer Deb and the other producers and everyone else. Bye.
Hello, Adam, he, him. I'm not mocking the pronounings, but I would really love if that was your surname. Wouldn't it be absolutely delicious? Hello, my full name is Adam, he, him. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for coming in. A massive wanker. Chance to be a fine thing. I love this. Yes, you're so right. What is it about this, like, rush, this expectation? I wonder if it is to do with the age of consent. Now, that I know will bring up many different conversations, but I wonder if an age of consent at 16 implies to us as a society that this is the time in which you should be ready by. And I guess, yes, it's not a given, is it? At all. You might not be. So I love this, yeah. And I guess there is an inquisitiveness to that, to be like, okay, why did you decide when you're 29? I can imagine, though, that sometimes that inquisitiveness comes from a place of othering you or placing you as like, what do you mean you waited? Whereas I think what the conversations that I'm interested in here and the things that are coming up on this call are around like, okay, so how did you arrive to that? And kind of enlightening us to letting us all know there is another way, which is beautiful. Adam, thank you so much. You sound like a first-time caller. I'm just going to put that out there. It's all very fresh around these ways today, isn't it? Lovely. Yes, please. More of that.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, producer Deb and Tim and Maya and the whole ATT crew. I'm calling for a bit of advice because I am looking to stop therapy and I'm struggling with how to break up with my therapist without sounding like I'm ending a relationship. So I've been in therapy for like 2.5 years now, and I've been seeing my therapist on a weekly basis. She's been great, but I kind of feel like I'm at a point where I'm ready to stop, but I don't quite know how to phrase that without saying like, I'm cured, I'm fine, I'm all good, when, you know, obviously there are still things that I can be working on. And I don't know, I've started like drafting out something that I'll either send as an email or I'll say, and it literally just sounds like I'm ending a relationship, like I'm breaking up with a partner or something. So for anyone out there who has broken up with a therapist, how did you do it? And help, cool. And I also really hope my therapist doesn't listen to this, because it wouldn't surprise me if she did. So fingers crossed she doesn't. Thanks everybody, bye.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Why would you ask me for advice? I'm the last person you need to be asking for advice, but I've got loads for you, and I hope other people chime in, because don't be living your life by what I tell you to do. Hey, let's get this one out of the way. Does your therapist listen to this? Well, they might do, but I tell you what, they're not allowed to tell you that they do listen to it, because they're not allowed to do that thing where they acknowledge you in real life. Well, they can acknowledge you, but they don't have chats with you because they're not supposed to be your friend, etc. So just use that, lean into that, be like, listen, if you listen to it, you're not supposed to tell me, so go fuck yourself. Secondly, this won't be their first time at the rodeo. Other people will have broken up with them or broken their hearts, okay? Other people will have ruined their lives. And what I mean by that is other people will have said to them, I think I'm good now, I'm done now. What was coming to mind? This is a tangent. Hold on. You know when you go to a coffee shop and you build up a rapport with somebody and, you know, you see them on the daily for a couple of weeks and you think, I just fancy a change. And then you go down to the coffee shop down the road and by chance you like, well, I live in a big city, but a fairly small area where all the coffee shops are. And sometimes the other baristas will see you drinking other people's coffee and doing other things. And I think I used to feel really embarrassed by it, to be like, I really love your coffee. Honestly, I'm just cheating on you. You know, and actually it's completely okay. You're paying for a service. You are choosing what is right for you. You are saying, no, I'm okay here. If it was me, again, don't listen to anything I tell you. I think I would say it face to face because I know how awkward it would be, but they would be able to see that awkwardness. They would be able to see that you're trying to do it in the most polite and kindest way possible, but you are trying to, you know, do it directly, that you are saying, I think I might be done. And it would be interesting because you might get a response from them, which they might be like, yeah. You know, if it's people-centered therapy, you know, you've got to come to your own conclusions. They can't tell you that you're done. So there's that. Are you cured? That was the thing that I really found interesting from that. You know, like, oh, do I tell them, you know, I'm cured? Are we ever cured? Anyway, you've asked advice from the room. Let's throw it over. How do you dump your therapist? Number is coming up very shortly. Still to come, Vancouver is calling, Pauline and her jug dogs, oh for fuck's sake, and fat phobia at work. Remember, without your calls, without your input, there is no show. So if you'd like to join in the chat, if you've got a question, if you want to respond to anything that you've heard today, any of the questions that have been thrown into the room, any of the things that come up, all you've got to do is open up the WhatsApp and send us a voice note to this number. 0788 200 3420. Loads of hellos in the mailbox this week. Jackson, I'm now just reading what the name says. Jackson says, last week's episode was so good. Shed a tear, laughed, then clapped as I was walking along the street when it finished, like an American when a plane lands. It's a very cultural difference, isn't it? When a plane lands in the UK, people are just like, oh, thank God for that. When a plane lands in America, people are like, yeah! Linda says, this is such a heartwarming and hilarious band of fellow travellers sharing and holding each other up in the mad world. Yes, isn't that right? Jamie has started a Twitter poll this week. I know. It says, here is a point of argument on ATT. Gravy with roast potatoes, question marks? Aye, because I'm northern, or no, because you're having a laugh. So we'll see how that poll turns out. Hold your horses, everybody. If you'd like to say hello, join us over on the social medias. Just search After The Tone Podcast.
Hey, Scotty, and everybody on the team, and of course, all you lovely toners out there. This is Jamie from Edinburgh here. I've not been on the blower for quite a while, so hello. And I have an awkward ex kind of little story. Okay, so many years ago, I was married to a lady of the opposite sex. And we had met at Vicar College. Ooh, because we were both vicars. And so I left the ministry to become an actor and to come out and do all that sort of thing. Although my faith is still important to me. Yeah. And she remained in the ministry and went off to a particular university to be a chaplain. Anyway, I went on to have a couple of relationships, and one of them was a guy. He's actually the guy I came to Edinburgh for. He's since moved to London on placement. The chaplaincy. Yes. So, and I, of course, completely unbeknownst to me, and I'm here up in Edinburgh having an evening meal with a few folks, and a mutual friend says, oh, yeah, I was talking to the ex-wife the other day. Oh, by the way, here's photo of my new team, because he was also on the team of the chaplaincy. And there, of course, was the ex-wife with the ex-boyfriend. And I was just thinking, oh, my God. Did they have that conversation when they say, oh, what was in your history? You know, oh, yeah, I know, Jamie. He was my ex-husband. Oh, he was my ex-boyfriend. But yeah, so that was my awkward ex
story. Lovely. Bye.
Oh my God. Okay. What the? How do I? Where do I start? First off, why the fuck have you not told us any of this history before? First, before that, welcome back. Now back into anger. What a life! Do you know what I love? Clergy gossip and scandal. Now, I used to knock around with somebody who used to go out with a chaplain. Oh, the things they get up to in C of E. And, you know, the other ones which are more English-like. Don't get in Catholicism. Oh, the Catholic Church. I mean, as we all know, spotless. Absolutely spotless. There's nothing to talk about there. Oh, my God. We could be there for a while. But over with those who wear the dog collars, well, they're all allowed to have it off with each other and get married and everything, aren't they? It's quite lelified. There's quite a few Marys in the church over that way, apparently. Who knew? Well, it seems like there's more than just Nellies. They're doing it this way and the other. That's dead exciting, isn't it? My only anecdote I can give you here is I once had a Bible thrown at me by a chaplain because I, well, Roman Catholic, I managed to find holes in the argument. Imagine the 14-year-old me being like, yeah, but what about? Because a minute ago you just said, if you think I'm unbearable on this, imagine trying to be fucking teaching me religion. Jamie, we need more of this gossip, scandal and intrigue. I'm expecting more, please. Thank you.
Hiya, Scotty Babs. It's only me. It's only Pauline. Oh, and hiya to the rest of the team and the lovely producer, Deb. Well, the reason I'm calling is I'm at a bit of a loss, really, because there is a queer-owned shop in town and they're doing a bit of speed dating. But the twist is... Oh, sorry, that's my jug dogs going, what? Yeah, so they're doing... What? Oh, she's trying to give you a message. I don't know if you got that. I'm waiting for your interpretation. So, yeah, so they're doing speed friendshipping. And I thought, oh, you know what? I'm a lonely old git and I could do with a bigger social circle. But the thing is, I don't want to be the one Mary left alone, you know, when they're doing the match and mingle at the end, who's just stranded. So how do I overcome this fear? The fear of abandonment.
How dare you walk into this room and say, only Pauline. Pauline, you take that fucking place there, please. You are Pauline. No, only in front of that. Thank you very much. Lovely to hear from the fucking jug dogs again after you sent me the picture of them. Now I sort of know what they look like, so it's annoying. So whenever they like bark or do something, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what they look like in that terrible photograph that you sent. Anyway, queer speed friendship dating. I couldn't think of anything fucking worse. I couldn't think of more of a waste of fucking time than I would want to sit in some shitty little gay cafe with free condoms and lube whilst people are saying, what is it that you look for in a friend? Well, someone who's got more aspirations than sitting in a fucking cafe and having a fucking latte. What is it you like? Are you on Facebook? No, I'm fucking not. I'm part of the real fucking world, actually, Adam. Oh, I hate, you know, this organised, fun friendship. Let's all be queer because we're all friends. No, actually, just because we're a bunch of old Marys, Nellies, Brendas and the rest of us, it don't mean I'm going to get along with you. And I think that's the take home here. Yes, we share many a sexual identity. We share a non-sexual identity, non-gendered and gendered identities. Does that mean I'm going to like you? No. Does that mean I hate you? No. It just doesn't mean I want to sit in a cafe in Wolverhampton whilst Storm Franklin is outside trying to pretend that we've got something in common. So I tell you what, Pauline, don't fucking bother going. Listen, if you want some queer friendship speed dating, listen to this. That's the best it's going to get, okay? Lower your expectations, love, okay? Thank you very much. It's time for our new segment, the DM Slide. This season, I am giving you the chance to share a confession via my DMs completely anonymously. This week, I've had a confession from Jay in the UK, who writes, "When I was 19, I went out with my sister and her friends and we got trashed. I ended up having sex with one of her mates on the sofa. In the morning, there was a huge stain / watermark on the sofa. I told my sister I spilt Prosecco, but it was actually what gushed out of my vag." "And she still doesn't know. I'm now in my 30s. Oh, I love you lot. If you... if you'd like to be a Voiceless Confessions, then slide into my DMs on Instagram or Twitter, and I will be waiting for them.
Hi, Scotty and Debbie, Tim, Kat, Maya, and the rest of the gang. It's Grace. Well, first off, I wanted to give you a little update. You were very kind and supportive when I told you last time. I've been getting back in touch with my family, particularly my mother, after a rather long estrangement of a good few years. And I can't really believe it, but I'm pleased to say it's all going very, very well. I'm in contact with them in bits and pieces by the phone, but I've been to stay in December and it went really well. And I'm going back again at the beginning of March. And I guess I'm just really, really lucky that while I was taking the time I needed and the space that I needed to do the work that I needed to do and come to terms with everything, feel all the feels, it seems that my mum was doing the same thing. Oh God, I'm getting emotional. So now that we're coming back together, we're meeting in a place of mutual respect and understanding. And I probably should have given her some more credit because she's a good person. But it's really great. I'm really happy. And shout out to JRF. I'm sorry about your experience with your family. Also wanted to ask some further advice, because that's me, just constantly ask. I had a training session that was delivered to me at work. The subject was fueling your success. And the host was talking about nutrition and sleep and all things that, fine, those will help to fuel success. But then, with air quotes, she started talking about weight loss and weight management. And I got very, very fucking angry. And I've just submitted a formal complaint to our learning and development and our HR team to say how inappropriate that is. I want to start a fat liberation group within our diversity and inclusion networks. I want to do something because I'm just so angry. Where would you recommend I start? It's going to be basic, you know? And I just want to start changing this culture. It's disgusting. And it's like, if something in a training session had been said that was misogynistic or sexist or homophobic or transphobic, there would have been outrage. So why is fat phobia so accepted? It makes me really angry. But yeah, if you have any advice for starting to try and bring people along on the journey of self-awareness in education, I'd really appreciate it, because at the moment I'm at the bottom of a mountain looking up.
Lovely, lovely Grace. Oh, I'm so glad to have the update from you. Full disclosure, Grace slid into my DMs this week to let me know that this is happening. So I do know that this meeting's happened and there is some success attached to it. And that version of success, I'm a big endorser of. I guess what I wanted to say, that it is allowed to go well. You know, there's sort of intrepidation there in your voice that it's going well. But equally, it's allowed at moments to be awkward, as long as that mutual respect that you spoke about is present. That's the glue that's binding you through the next phase, the next moments of feeling like, how do we move beyond this? What needs to be resolved? What are the conversations that need to be had? So I'm really glad that that version of success is being endorsed. The work success, oh God. Who wants to be successful? I mean, this is a complicated one, right? Because what I'm about to say, of course, I understand measures what comes with success, but It's a lot of bullshit, isn't it? All of this, like, you know, living your best life, you know, girl bossing, all of this bullshit about, like, go out there and go get it. You do you, hon. Grab what you need. Take what you need. Do what you must. Bullshit. No. No. Very capitalist. Very exclusionary, super ableist, like full of like a load of toxic bullshit. You know what? Like, don't teach me how to be successful. Teach me how to be nice. Teach me how to be kind. Teach me how to be mindful. Not mindfulness of like, I am present and all that shit. Because that stuff, as a fucking lunatic that I am, I find really fucking difficult to get on board with. Just think of yourself happy. No, I fucking can't. Okay, that's the problem. What I'm trying to do is hold on to fucking sanity, let alone fucking success. Anyway, Grace, this is by the by. Weight management. As I live and breathe, I tell you what weight management looks like. Going into fucking HR, getting out my flab, throwing it on the table and say, fucking line manage this, bitch. Don't do that, okay? It's just a really nice thing to think that you might do. Where would I start? Well, let's open it up to the room. There is a book that is made by Dr. Charlotte Cooper. It's one of my favourite people in the world. It's called The Fat Activist Vernacular. And it's very funny. It's really easy to read. It just talks about languages, people who've done stuff. There's a great Instagram to follow, which is Historic Fat People as well. But I'm sure other people would have come across this who are in motions of doing this. So, oh, I'm bringing a burp. So, if you've got any advice for Grace about how Grace might meander this weight management bullshit, pick up the blower, give us a call, you know how to do it.
Hiya, Scotty, it's Pablo calling from Vancouver, Canada. Just listening to your new podcast, I had to pause it at like the 45 second mark because I had to talk to you. First of all, I'm sure your haircut looks beautiful. Second of all, thank you so much for education. I think small microdosing education is wonderful. I also love when you said that straight men feeling insecure. Love that. Number three, I always think about me and my boyfriend will walk around and I'll hold his hand, I'll put my hand in his pocket of his jacket, give him a peck here and there. And one day when we were discussing it, I think he said something like, aren't you worried about people looking? And I said, no, I'm just... A, number one, it just comes natural to me to put my hand around someone or hold them or hug them. And second of all, I do believe it's a sort of political statement saying that I'm gay or that, like, you can't tell me how to be in public. Especially if you go to a small town. We'll go to a small town for, like, a weekend away, and I'll hold his hand or put my arm around him but just, like, walk down the street with my hand sort of in his jacket pocket. Around his hand. It is those small moments that those small-minded people in those small towns, not that everyone is small-minded in a small town, will see that and be like, oh my God, two guys holding hands? Maybe the more they see it, the more they'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, two guys holding hands, or oh yeah, they're gay, because they just need to normalize it. Anyway, that's my political rant for the day. Thanks again, I'm so happy the podcast passed. Say hi to everyone in the room, thanks to all your producers and all that kind of jazz. Have a good rest of your day. Ta-ra!
Good evening, Vancouver. Pablo, it's lovely to have you back in the room. Thank you. Microdosing history. If only history was that exciting. Now, first thing I want to pull you up on is the fact that you just mentioned you've got a boyfriend. But I meant something to you. Okay, cool. So are we doing like podcast non-monogamy? Because if that's the case, I think we need to set up a Google Drive. Okay. Yes, if you could actually, when everybody calls now, if you could state your pronouns and your relationship status, that would be really helpful for me to stop falling in love with you all. Thank you very much. You wish I loved you? She gives with one hand, she takes very quickly with the other. Yes, holding a hand. It's such a political statement even today, isn't it? And sometimes that politic is an outward politic. It's about, as you say, educational, it's symbolic for people around. It offers solace for other queer and trans folk looking at us. We can utilise our privileges as being quote-unquote allowed or it being quote-unquote safe enough. Because, of course, it isn't safe enough for everybody who makes up the community to do such a thing. So there is that, but sometimes there is the inward political. And what I mean by that is sort of challenging the shame. It's about us detangling gay shame. We're not doing a bad thing. But also, you know, being with partners and reassuring them, it's okay. We are allowed to be outward. That being said, I want to live in that world. Absolutely, totally. But there is a sort of level of gay shame, maybe like a 2 or 3%, which sometimes means having it off can be a bit more exciting. It's meant that we can have sort of different rules, different ways of being. So this is not me advocating for gay shame. This is me definitely saying, you know, like that moment is full of so many different things. That sort of danger that we can feel can sometimes, in certain situations, feel almost like a thrill. But it is a danger that I wish didn't exist within us. So thank you very much, Pablo, for coming to the room. Maybe you experienced this, listener at home. Maybe you have these thoughts and fears going on in your head. Does this happen to heterosexual people? Do they have to second guess touching in public? Pick up the phone. Join in the chat. And that's all for today. Wow, jam-packed show, really full. So I won't keep you long, but we've really got around the houses, haven't we? I mean, talking about the sexual CV, the first half of the show where we were talking about relationships and feeling sexually inadequate or finding our sexuality or re-finding our sexuality. I really hope we're able to keep on that train. Absolutely gorgeous. The updates as well from people like Grace telling us, you know, how that family stuff is going and how they're feeling and now wanting to set up for activist group, Pablo being back in the room, of course, some lovely old voices. I say old, I didn't mean old, you know what I mean, before you start calling up and complaining. Familiar is what I meant to say. So if any of that or more has stirred you in your down belows or your up aboves, I don't know what it means, just go with it. The number that you need to voice note one more time is 0788 200 3420. And I guess what I'm getting from this series is this absolutely beautiful solidarity, more than I've ever felt before. There's a lot of people offering love and care. You know, I've said this before, I've mentioned it today. This isn't a therapy space. We don't claim that this is going to help you, that we can give you resources that will direct you in the right places. It's a bunch of mates having a chat about the sort of stuff that I guess is important to us. And I think despite us being dispersed around the globe, around a country, around this sort of digital space, it feels really familiar. And so I thank you for that. Anyway, the end, I think. I'll see you next week. Pick up the phone, join in the chat. Until then, oh, fucking hell, it's raining outside again. I need a coffee.
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
After the Tone is hosted by me, Scotty, produced by Debbie Kilbride, vice producer Tim Bano, assistant producer Maya Miller-Lewis, digital producer Kat Prill. After the Tone is a Debbie's production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.